Imagine you're cruising down the highway at like 70 miles per hour,
Right.
and you hit a patch of heavy traffic. So you take your hands off the wheel, you turn completely away from the windshield, open your laptop, and just start answering emails.
While the car does all the driving.
Exactly. And if that car happens to crash into the vehicle in front of you, it is completely fine legally.
Because the automaker actually pays the bill.
Yeah. I mean, that sounds like a science fiction pitch for, the year 2040, but that is a legally certified reality on American roads right now, as of April 2026.
It really is. We are witnessing this massive threshold moment. The fundamental nature of the automobile is shifting, like right in front of us.
Moving from just a mechanical machine.
Yeah, moving from a dumb metal box that needs constant human input to basically a thinking, autonomous entity.
Which brings us to what we're doing today. Welcome to the deep dive. We are unpacking this really massive, like 2,500 word technical and strategy analysis from the Techin editorial team.
It's a fantastic source.
Yeah.
Very comprehensive.
Oh, it's so dense with detail. But our mission today is to cut through all that heavy engineering jargon, We want to extract the real aha moments about how AI is literally taking over the driver's seat.
And what that means for your safety, your data privacy, and honestly, your wallet over the next few years.
Exactly. I mean, buying a new car right now is basically like transitioning from a landline to a smartphone, but you're doing it at 70 miles per hour.
Okay, let's unpack this.
Let's do it.
Because to understand where this whole industry is heading, we have to look at the strategic pivot happening right now. Like Nissan's huge announcement on April 14th.
Right, the Mobility Intelligence for Everyday Life initiative.
Yeah. And the core of that is wild. They are slashing their global vehicle lineup from 56 models down to 45.
Slashing 20% of their variations.
Just gone. And why? Because 90% of their future fleet is going to feature what they call AI drive. It's this mix of LiDAR, cameras, and deep neural networks.
And they're debuting this in the Nissan Elgrand, their luxury minivan, this coming summer, which is super soon, with a goal of full, quote, end-to-end autonomous driving by March 2028. And, the sources point out this is exactly what Apple did with the smartphone industry.
Trimming the fat to focus on premium innovation.
Right. Instead of making dozens of, like, average phones, you make a highly intelligent ecosystem. But wait, I need you to translate something for me. What does end-to-end autonomous actually mean in plain English?
Well, historically, self-driving software was very modular. Engineers built separate programs for separate tasks.
Like little compartments.
Exactly. You had a perception module that analyzed the camera feed to, say, spot a stop sign.
Okay.
Then that module handed data to a planning module, which did all the math for safe stop. And then that handed instructions to a control module to actually press the brakes.
So it was just handing off the data down a line.
Right. End-to-end autonomy throws that entire modular pipeline out the window.
Really? All of it.
All of it. It replaces those separate programs with one unified neural network. It's essentially pixels in, steering out.
Yeah. Wow. So the raw video and the lasers just dump straight into one big brain.
Yeah. And the physical steering and braking commands come right out the other side. It's much faster, and it feels incredibly natural, like a human is driving.
But there's a catch, right?
A huge one. It creates this black box dilemma because it's relying on billions of neural weights developed through machine learning, not just rigid code written by a guy in a cubicle. Engineers actually lose interpretability.
Hey, meaning they don't know how it works.
Meaning, when the AI makes a sudden swerve to the left, the developers can't just look at line 4,000 of the code and say, ah, that's why it swerved.
It's like, well, the source used a great analogy. It's like teaching a teenager to drive.
Yes,
They
exactly.
get hundreds of hours behind the wheel, they build up that intuition. But if you ask a teenager to explain the exact mathematical physics of why they took a turn at a specific angle,
They're just going to shrug.
yeah, they'll say, ah, it just felt right.
The car is now making intuitive leaps based on millions of miles of training data. And that shift from rigid logic to intuition is the core of everything happening right now.
Okay, so Nissan is targeting 2028 for this end-to-end future, but Tesla is overhauling the brain of the car, like today.
Right, just a week before Nissan's announcement, Tesla dropped version 14.3 of their full self-driving.
And the major update wasn't even a feature, really. They completely rebuilt their AI compiler from scratch.
Using MLIR.
Right, which was developed by Chris Lettner, the same guy who created Apple's Swift language. But okay, for the non-engineers listening, what is a compiler and why does rebuilding it matter?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, a compiler is the bridge. It's the translator between the high-level software code and the physical silicon chips in the car.
Okay, so it talks to the hardware.
Exactly. If you have an inefficient compiler, your physical hardware actually sits idle for fractions of a millisecond just waiting for instructions.
It's just wasting time.
Right. By using this new NLIR framework, Tesla optimized that pipeline so perfectly that the whole system gets a 20% faster reaction time.
And here's where it gets really interesting. Let's put that 20% into physical terms, because if you are going 70 miles per hour, your car is moving over 100 feet every single second.
Right. It covers a lot of ground fast.
So a 20% faster processing speed isn't just some neat tech spec. That is literally 20 feet of stopping distance.
It is the absolute difference between a safe stop and a fatal collision.
That's wild. And they didn't just stop at speed, right? They overhauled the vision encoder too.
Yeah, the cameras are now processing raw data with a deep understanding of 3D geometry. So it sees way better in bad weather, and it can actually spot small animals now.
Which has always been a nightmare for camera-only systems.
Absolutely. And they need this upgrade because Tesla is pushing FSD into Europe in 2026.
Okay, but hold on. I got to push back on this. Tesla relies only on cameras, right?
Yes, vision only.
Taking a camera-only car into Europe sounds genuinely terrifying. I mean, you're dealing with ancient, tiny streets, pedestrians everywhere, massive roundabout networks with totally different right-of-way rules. Isn't there a safer way to do this?
Well, Mercedes-Benz definitely thinks so. They looked at that exact same challenge and took a heavily engineered, radically different route.
And broke a massive legal barrier in the process.
Exactly. They achieved the first legally certified Level 3 autonomous system in the U.S., called Drive Pilot.
And you can get this now, right?
Yeah, on the S-Class and EQS sedans. It costs about $2,500 a year. But to understand why this is such a big deal, we have to talk about the difference between Level 2 and Level 3 autonomy.
Right, because most people know Level 2. If your car has Lane Keep Assist or Adaptive Cruise Control, even Tesla's full self-driving right now is just Level 2.
Exactly. In Level 2, the car steers and brakes, but you, the human, are legally responsible. You have to watch the road. If it crashes, you are at fault.
It's your insurance paying out.
Yep. But Level 3 completely flips the script. In Level 3, the automaker takes full legal liability.
That is insane to me.
Mercedes is basically saying, our tech is so reliable, if the AI causes an accident, we will pay the damages.
Think about what this means for you as the driver. You can legally take your hands off the wheel, turn around, and watch a movie in a traffic jam.
Yes. But they only achieve this by putting strict limits on the system.
Right, the geofencing.
Heavily geofenced. It only works under 40 miles per hour in heavy traffic on pre-mapped highways and only in good daytime weather.
So no heavy rain, no snow.
And no night driving.
It's such a perfect contrast. Tesla wants an AI that can drive anywhere on Earth, but you take the risk. Mercedes wants an AI that drives in a tiny, perfect little box, but they take all the risk.
Exactly. And while Mercedes is focused on taking the wheel from you, BMW is focusing on, well, having a conversation with you.
I love this part of the analysis. So at CES 2026, BMW announced they are integrating Amazon's Alexa Plus, which is powered by large language models, or LLMs, into their new iX3.
Right. Arriving late 2026. And this isn't just about saying turn on the lights. We are moving past those rigid voice commands when you have to memorize the exact syntax.
Yeah,
exactly. Older systems use strict logic trees. If you say, I'm feeling tired, the car just gets confused because it doesn't match the command, navigate to coffee.
I'm sorry, I didn't understand that.
Right. But an LLM has natural language understanding and conversation memory. So if you say, I'm feeling tired, the car processes the context.
It doesn't just beep at you.
No, it actually says something like, would you like me to route you to a nearby cafe or should I play some energetic music?
Let me role play a scenario from the source because it's so cool. You get in and say, I have a big presentation tomorrow at headquarters.
Okay.
The LLM checks your synced calendar, pulls predictive morning traffic and says, your meeting is at 10 a.m. Based on typical traffic, I suggest we depart at 9:15 a.m. Shall I set a reminder and precondition the cabin temperature?
It's incredible. Your car is now basically your executive assistant.
I mean, I love the convenience. But if my car starts judging my caffeine habits and refuses to route me to a drive-thru because I've had too many lattes, we're going to have words.
Well, that actually touches on some darker implications we'll get to. But underneath all these cool consumer features, there is a fierce hardware war happening.
The vision-only versus LiDAR debate.
Right. Tesla champions vision-only. High-definition cameras feeding the neural net. Elon Musk argues humans only use two eyes and a brain to drive.
Though a car should only need cameras.
Exactly. Plus, cameras are incredibly cheap. Nissan and Mercedes, however, argue for redundancy.
Because, I mean, humans crash all the time. We get blinded by sun glare. Our depth perception is awful at night. If we have the technology to give cars laser superpowers, shouldn't we use them?
That's the argument for LiDAR. If a camera is blinded by the sun, LiDAR doesn't care. It pulses invisible lasers to make a perfect 3D map, even in pitch-black darkness.
But the problem was always the cost, right? Those ugly spinning buckets on the roof.
They were thousands of dollars. But solid-state LiDAR puts all of that on a microchip. No moving parts. Projections show the price might drop by 90% very soon.
Pushing it under $500 a unit.
Right. And when lasers become that cheap, Tesla's economic argument for cameras loses its edge. But this raises an important question. The tech is outpacing our ethics.
Oh, the trolley problem.
Exactly. The ultimate ethical void. A pedestrian runs into the street. The car can't stop in time. Does it hit the pedestrian or swerve into a wall and hurt the driver?
You'd think there would be a standard protocol for this by now.
Automakers actively dodge the question. It's a PR nightmare. If you say you sacrifice the driver, no one buys the car.
Right.
If you say you hit the pedestrian, cities ban your cars. So they just claim their sensors will avoid the scenario entirely.
Which is statistically impossible. Eventually, an algorithm has to execute that lethal logic. And that's not even getting into the data privacy side of things.
Oh, the surveillance aspect is huge. These cars track your exact locations, your habits. They have interior microphones listening to you.
And the regulatory environment is just a mess. The EU has GDPR to try and limit this. But in the US, there are basically no federal data privacy laws for cars.
Your car knows what clinic you visited, whose house you parked at midnight.
And who they sell that data to is practically unregulated. But look, despite all the ethical voids, this market is booming.
Exploding, really.
Yeah. The global AI automotive market is jumping from $4.29 billion in 2024 to an estimated $14.92 billion by 2030. That is a 23% annual growth rate. So where exactly is this all heading?
Well, we can break it down into phases. Right now, 2026 to 2027 is the transition phase. We get the Nissan Elgrand, the BMW iX3 FSD in Europe.
The warm-up.
Exactly. Then 2028 to 2029 is the explosion phase. Solid-state LiDAR drops under $500.
Mm.
Robotaxis scale up in 50-plus cities.
Wow.
And by 2030 and beyond, we enter the Level 4 era. That means fully autonomous cars, shared mobility networks instead of personal ownership. They're projecting a 50% drop in traffic crashes. Cities will literally be redesigned around self-driving cars instead of humans.
And if you're wondering how to invest in this, the source lays it out clearly. Short-term, the money is in the chips like NVIDIA making the hardware. Medium term, it's the automakers integrating the tech. Long term, it's all about the software platforms licensing these autonomous algorithms.
It's a complete ecosystem transformation.
So to summarize all of this, we are actively crossing the threshold. We are leaving the century of mechanical machines and entering the era of thinking entities.
It's no longer a question of if smart cars will take over.
Right. It's strictly a question of when you are finally going to park one in your garage. But, I want to leave you with one final thought to mull over today.
Okay, this is a good one.
Yeah, building on that privacy discussion. As your car's brain gets smarter and learns your exact routines, what happens when it refuses to do what you want?
Right.
Imagine your car's AI decides that the fast food drive-through you visit every Tuesday is too bad for your health metrics. Or imagine the route you selected is statistically too dangerous for its safety record, so it overrides your navigation.
It really makes you wonder.
When the car does all the thinking, and the automaker holds all the liability, who is really in the driver's seat?
Are we gaining autonomy or surrendering it?
Exactly. Something to think about next time you put your hands on the steering wheel. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive, and we'll catch you next time.